Turn it on. There we go. So, thank you. So this morning, we're continuing our sort of summer mixtape series, and I'm kind of continuing the couple sermons that I preached before taking off to Brazil, and where I kind of highlighted something of God's concerns, right? And so we talked about God's concern, like from the book of Jonah, for all people, and then we talked about God's concern for, I'm blanking. It was good though. Does anyone remember? Anyways, God's concern for redemption. There you go, from the Exodus. Okay, just had to think about it. This morning I thought, and this kind of came out of a trip to Brazil, and also Christopher Nolan's movie that came out, The Odyssey, and so it premiered while I was in Brazil, but I was making plans to see it as soon as I got back, and I also reread The Odyssey on the airplane, because I knew that I would be, a couple 24-hour flights and all this sort of stuff, so I'd have lots of time to read, and so it kind of came together as I was in Brazil, thinking about just how hospitable Brazilians are. Like, they are just, and part of it is part of Latino culture, I get that, but like the church, we just felt so welcomed and embraced during the whole time there. And so I thought that, okay, it would make sense to come in and talk about hospitality in the Odyssey, Brazil, and the Bible. So that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. And while many passages throughout Scripture talk about hospitality, one of the sort of paradigmatic or fundamental ones that goes back to that passage from Genesis and Abraham showing hospitality to these three strangers who turned out to be angels, or perhaps the Trinity, the triune God, visiting him. And this is what the author of Hebrews riffs on and picks up, where he says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And that's a clear reference to this event in the book of Genesis. So, how about hospitality in the Odyssey? How many people have seen the Odyssey yet? The younger crowd, probably, I see. Yeah, okay. It's a spectacle. It's an IMAX theater. You go, it's loud, it's big, it's bright. And one of the dominant themes in Christopher Nolan's adaptation of The Odyssey is this idea of hospitality. And throughout the movie, they make reference to Zeus's law, which... okay, that's a modern expression that, now, Nolan didn't make it up. He didn't, create it, but it's one that's found in some different, 20th century scholarly works on the Odyssey and on ancient Greco-Roman culture. But the idea of Zeus's law is this idea of hospitality. And it goes back to Zeus, who is sometimes referred to. So Zeus is, one of the top pantheons of the Greek gods, and he's referred to as Zeus Xenos, and that means Zeus, protector of strangers, or friend to strangers and guests. And so in the Greek mythology, Zeus would at times, come down and disguise himself among humans and to be able to evaluate how people treated strangers. And so this is a theme in the, written work, The Odyssey, that epic poem of Homer. And it comes through a number of times throughout. Now, I'm not going to give you any spoilers. It's not a spoiler to say that The Odyssey has to do with hospitality. And quite frankly, the book has been out since the 8th century BC. You've had time to read it. So... But I'm not going to, Nolan does some interesting things with this theme, so it's worth, so I'm not going to wreck those for you. But a number of times in the book, this theme comes up, okay, in various contexts. So one time, Odysseus is on an island. He's not sure if it's going to be safe. He's had a rough time trip so far, right? He's trying to get back home after the Trojan War. And he's kind of probing some questions to this young woman on this island, and she describes what sort of people they are. And she says, all foreigners and beggars come from Zeus. So any act of kindness is a blessing. So give the stranger food and drink and wash him down in the river, sheltered from the wind. And so kind of susses it out and says, okay, this is a place that would show hospitality. So it's safe. Now, a little bit later in the story, we have them coming to the island of the Cyclops. And then, you know, they get trapped in his cave, in one of the Cyclops' cave. And he addresses the Cyclops, and he says, now we beg you, here at your knees, to grant a gift, as is the norm for hosts and guests. Please sit, my lord. Please serve, my lord. Respect the gods. We are your supplicants, and Zeus is on our side, since he takes care of visitors, guests, friends, and those in need. Now, if you're familiar with the story, the Cyclops doesn't really value Zeus a whole lot and doesn't really value guests, and he chews up a few of them for lunch, okay? So, but they do escape, just so you know. So the story continues. And then later on, when Odysseus is back in Ithaca, and he is kind of disguised, going incognito, and he meets up with one of his faithful servants, the keeper of his pigs. And he's talking to him, and in this context, he says, one must honor guests and foreigners and strangers, even those much poorer than oneself. Zeus watches over beggars and guests and strangers. And so you see in a number of places, and there's more examples I could give, that in Greco-Roman culture, in this ancient culture, there was a value of hospitality. And it goes right back to Zeus himself. And this is something that you also see in Scripture, this concern for hospitality. And so in the Bible, okay, the term that's often translated in our Bibles as hospitality or hospitable or something like that has nothing to do with the hospitality industry, right? Like hotels and all this. But rather, these are a translation of the Greek philoxenia, okay? Which comes from like philo, you're probably, Philadelphia, phileo, the term love, like brotherly love. And then xenos is stranger. So in the Greek context, this idea is hospitality or love shown to strangers, to receive a stranger as a guest. Like you think of it in the ancient world, it wasn't a big deal if you showed love towards a family member. Well, that's kind of expected. Or if you, show love to someone that you know well, that also was expected. They had friends just like we have friends. They have family just like we have family. But it's the real test is how do you treat the person you don't know? The person whose story you haven't heard. And so there was norms and protocols over how you welcome the stranger. And in the ancient world, where they didn't have hotels, they didn't have Ubers, they didn't have all these things that make our trip successful and pleasant, you had to rely on the help of strangers. And so hospitality was a big deal. Now, when you come to the Old Testament, you find this value reflected throughout the Old Testament. Abraham, right? The story that we read already, or part of it anyways, this morning. Abraham showed this radical hospitality when these three strangers came and visited him. And he was blessed by it. Not only did he bless them, and like the prodigal, the father and the prodigal son who, you know, made a big meal for them and all this sort of stuff, but he was also blessed because, as it turns out, guess what? They were angels, and they, you know, indicated the blessing that was going to come to Abraham and to Sarah and their inheritance, their children. So he demonstrated, you know, what hospitality looks like in an ancient Near Eastern context. You also have some very bad examples in the scriptures as well. And probably the paradigmatic bad example of hospitality is Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, where here you have Lot going into the you know, part of the town where, you know, the court where people would take in guests. And we all know the story, we're familiar with it, where finally someone takes them in, but then all the people of the town come and want to abuse them. And you know this, how the story goes. The story is kind of echoed in Judges 19 as well, where you have a Levite with his concubine wife also going into a town and then being threatened. So, you know, this is sort of, we see the good example with Abraham that we're to emulate this idea of hospitality, but then we see the bad example of Sodom and Gomorrah and Gibeah of Saul and some of these other towns. We also see the idea of hospitality enshrined in the Torah, especially how they were to, you know, treat the stranger or the foreigner or the alien among them. And so in Exodus chapter 23, it says, "You shall not oppress a resident alien. You know the heart of an alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt." So it even kind of goes back to their own experience as slaves in Egypt and says, remember, you know, remember that experience, and you now, as God's people who has been delivered out of Egypt, shall not treat others the same way that you were treated. But you are to treat them with respect, with love, with honor. In Leviticus, it says, "When an alien or foreigner resides with you in your land, you shall not impress them. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizens among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were all aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So you see this ancient idea of hospitality that's reflected in Greco-Roman stories and myths, also found very squarely and clearly in the scriptures of Israel. And it doesn't change when you get to the New Testament. These images of hospitality are found throughout its pages. They're featured frequently in Jesus' parables. So these stories that Jesus told, you know, give us insight to how should we treat those who are different, those who are strangers. And so, you know, I'm not going to kind of go through all, well, I'm going to say something about all of them. So, you know, the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. Here, welcoming the stranger is the primary standard by which our lives will be judged, according to that story. You know, the person says, the master figure says, "I was a stranger and you invited me in." And so here in that story, Christ identifies himself with the vulnerable guest, with the stranger, with the least of these. And it says how you deal with them, how you accept them and show hospitality to people in that situation is like showing hospitality to Jesus himself. in the Good Samaritan, of course, in that parable, you have a despised religious outsider, right? The Samaritan. He becomes a provider of life-saving hospitality to a Jewish traveler left for dead, challenging all of us to sort of be like the Samaritan and to show that concern and make the stranger our neighbor and to love them. You have the great banquet in Luke 14. When all the original people who were invited to this banquet made excuses and didn't go, well, the master commands his servants to go to the streets and to invite, quote, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And this parable shows that God's hospitality actively targets the social outcasts and outsiders rather than those who can reciprocate. So that story tells us something about God's concern for hospitality as well. And then the parable of the prodigal son, which I think is better named the parable of the loving father, right? Who, when the son returns, what does he do? He didn't need to do it, right? His son was dead to him. But instead, he kills a fattened calf. He embraces him. He runs to him, and he welcomes him with the sort of hospitality that God has shown each of us. So we also have just even the example of Jesus himself. And though he had no place to lay his head, that he showed hospitality to the outcasts by eating with them. You know, which in Jewish culture at that time was verboten, right? Because, you know, it was very important who you could eat with and who you couldn't, at least if you were a Pharisee. But in Jesus' example, he ate with pretty much anyone, and he also treated people of all different social classes, all different religious proclivities and all this, he treated them as someone to be loved. You see the example in the book of Acts, just one, Lydia, right? She modeled a radical hospitality when she housed Paul and Silas. You know, you see this in the different teachings in the New Testament as well, where the expectation for followers of Jesus is to live with hospitality. And so in Romans 12, verse 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality, the love of strangers. In 1 Peter 4, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, right? So not only are we supposed to do it, we're supposed to kind of be at least indifferent about it, or happy, hopefully, right? That we are called to be people of hospitality and to be welcoming and open to those. And then, of course, the passage that, you know, we already had read for us, but I'll mention it again. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For so by doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now, this concern for hospitality in the Bible is not just a reflection of ancient cultural mores or values, but it is based on and rooted in the very nature of God himself and the gospel message. Our attempts at hospitality are rooted in the greatest act of hospitality, the death and resurrection of Jesus, which brought us into the family of God. Now think about the hospitality that God has extended to each of us, that though we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that God has made it possible through his gracious provision in Jesus Christ that we may become part of his family, that the breach may be healed, and that we may be children of God. This picture is Andrei Rublev's, and it's an icon that has been called, on the one hand, the icon of the Trinity, right? You see three people, you know, around a table together as this powerful image of the hospitality and the love shown between the members of the Trinity. But the actual painting is of the episode from Genesis and Abraham and the three strangers. And so, you know, one of its other names is the hospitality of Abraham. And you see how the hospitality of Abraham shown to these three strangers, you know, kind of prefigures and expresses at the same time the hospitality that God has shown to each of us, and the hospitality between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Anna Marie Pandeya says, to welcome the stranger is to acknowledge him as a human being made in God's image. It is to treat her as one of equal worth with ourselves. Indeed, the one who may teach us something out of the richness of experiences different from our own. And by following this example of radical hospitality, modeled by Abraham, Jesus, and the early church, and encapsulated in the hospitality of God himself for all of us, we can worship together by welcoming into our churches and homes and our lives and hearts, by welcoming the stranger, by welcoming the neighbor. Now, coming back to the Odyssey and the idea of hospitality found in that work, but also in Greco-Roman culture, we see that biblical hospitality goes far beyond the hospitality valued in Greco-Roman culture. That biblical hospitality is beyond this idea of relationship between host and guest. Right? That xenia, this ancient idea, emphasized kindness and fairness towards guests, people that you've invited into your home. It was limited to that. And it applied primarily to the relationship between host and guest. Biblical hospitality goes beyond that because it seeks out the guest. Biblical hospitality is beyond the boundaries of one's social class or ethnic group. You know, Greco-Roman hospitality was really, you know, people of the same class or ethnic background as yourself. You know, it was limited to that. Why biblical hospitality blows those boundaries apart. And you see that especially in like Luke 14 and the parable of the big banquet. Right? That people are invited, you know, who, like, you would never have that group of people together in one place based on Greco-Roman ideas of hospitality. And biblical hospitality also is not a reciprocal arrangement, but it's an expression of God's grace and love. You know, we all kind of do this, right? If you get invited over for lunch at someone, then you start, okay, you need to remember that because you need to invite them back sometime. And then, okay, whose turn is it this time to host, right? We kind of do that. We shouldn't do that. But we kind of do that. That very much was a sort of reciprocity that was built into Greco-Roman hospitality. While on the other hand, biblical hospitality doesn't keep records, doesn't care if you're the one that's doing the inviting most of the time, because it's an expression of God's grace and love, that God has demonstrated his love and grace to us to such magnitude by inviting us in to his life and his family, that the onus on us is on us to show that same hospitality. Now, Brazil, okay, hospitality, I won't say that. Just lots of hospitality, okay? This fellow here in the picture, Elias, we were hanging out with him. He was a student in my class. He also was known to the pastor I was going to, and so hung out with him a number of times. Cool guy. He was telling me about this expression that they have in Portuguese. The little dog is from my Uber driver. They had that on that. In amigos de fim. Any Portuguese speakers here? Nina, what does that mean? Enemies of the end, exactly. So this is an expression that he said is found in Brazil, because it's the idea that when you're together and you're hanging out, you have to say goodbye 20 times before they'll let you out the door. That they are enemies of the end, that they never want something to end. They just want to continue to hang out. And so, you know, you kind of have to, if you're thinking you have to go in half an hour, you sort of start to say your goodbyes. And you say goodbye, and then you kind of get a little bit closer to the door, and then you have to say goodbye again, and you give them a hug and so it's this whole process. And so this sort of encapsulates this idea of Brazilian hospitality. But they just enjoy, like, relationships are valued so much there that they have a hard time saying goodbye. And I remember one time when we were there, we had some sort of hard, I can't even remember what it was, but we had to get somewhere else. And so we kind of had to say, we're going to do a Canadian goodbye, you know, which is just, okay, see you guys, and then boot. So the class that I taught there, again, the hospitality of these students was amazing. Like, they embraced me literally and figuratively. It was just a lot of fun to teach that class. I won't say that it was the most fun ever teaching. I've had lots of experiences teaching, but it was a lot of fun. And at the end, they gave me both a Chimarrão cup from the seminary, which is their traditional drink that they have, but even more importantly, they gave me the official Brazilian sign of hospitality, the Brazilian flip-flops, right? So you see those in the picture there. I'm holding them up. They're white. They have the Brazil flag. They're like the official ones. So that was just a great time, spending time with the class. And that was sort of one of, you know, because it was 5 days, 5 nights, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 4 hours a night with them. So that was probably, one of the best experiences of the trip, just because of the sheer time of it. I also got invited to Paulo's dad's place, his home, where he grew up. And the guy without a shirt on, that's Rocky, that's his brother. He was a grill master. And you see his mother there, his father, and that was just, again, very cool just to be invited into a Brazilian home and just being welcomed as a guest and being treated like, you know, again, Brazilian barbecue is amazing. We had another chance, and the whole team had a chance to be hosted by Pastor Flavio, and his buddy Alex, who is a chef. And so they hosted us, and Alex cooked up all this great barbecue. You see Brian there hanging out in the kitchen, picking up tips, trying to figure out how it's done. It's very simple in some respects, but that was a great night as well. You know, being around the table with, you know, Flavio, his family, Alex and his family, some other students, like their worlds kind of crossed in a number of ways. This is, again, some pictures of the whole group together, and then, you know, of that evening. So that was a lot of fun. One of their practices in southern Brazil, in Rio Grande do Sul, is this idea. It's kind of part of gaucho culture, and I think I talked about this last summer as well when I came back, but this idea of drinking chimarrão. And I'm not saying that right. I can't say it. It's supposed to be a kind of an H, a rolling H at the end, chimarrão, I don't know. But, you know, it's this tea drink. And so Felipe, who was kind of connected in a number of ways, one of the students, he had the chimarrão cup, and he would share it with me. And then, of course, Garrett also had it. Garrett's here this morning somewhere. Garrett? Hey, Garrett. So that's, again, another sign, a practice of hospitality. This is our meeting with the Niterói Baptist Church during the day. This was, you know, a good time to share about and learn about their church. They learned about our church. So that was a good time. We also were at a service. I preached the Sunday before the team came. Sarah May preached the Sunday that the team was all there. And then we had this traditional sausage and bun meal after. And you know what? I wouldn't think, my rule with sausage, like kubasaw or hot dogs or anything like that, is that mustard and onions, and that's it. Maybe banana peppers, but you don't put other stuff. But you know what? In Brazil, down south, mayonnaise. Little hickory sticks, like little potato chip things. You know, onions, well, that was good, but tomato, which, why? Why would anyone want to put, anyways. But it was actually rather tasty, you know? So we had that time of fellowship with the church. So that just shows, some of the pictures there. A time of worship where we sung some songs in Portuguese and English. During part of the service, we presented a little gift to Paulo, and I just love that picture. I love his expression. I gave him a big kiss, you know, but yeah, he didn't appreciate it quite as much. So, and my beard was a feature for most of the trip. We also hung out with the people from Niterói Baptist, did some fun stuff together, which I think that was really good, and maybe even a better bonding moment than some of the meetings. So we kind of crammed in a couple cars and made sure to kind of mix the Canadians and the Brazilians, and then, you know, drive for hour and a half. We had some fun together as well. We also went to the church plant and I preached, and that was, you know, I think that was a really powerful service. It was a good time, and they had a hillbilly marshmallow roast after. This is, again, part of this gaucho culture, but we brought the marshmallows because Canadian marshmallows, far better than Brazilian ones. This picture here, the pastors of the church are Eduardo and his wife Jackie, and they have a daughter, Johanna, who has Down syndrome. And she's just so cute, but you can't see it. Murray is just sitting right off the picture, and she was lecturing Murray very passionately about a number of things that evening. So that was just a lot of fun. So one of my biggest takeaways from Brazil is their hospitality. It's a beautiful, beautiful country like Canada, and they are a beautiful, beautiful people. And they know how to welcome the stranger and to make you feel like part of the family. And so when we come back to this idea of God's concern for hospitality, you know, this injunction from Hebrews, you know, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, I think is just so important in terms of how our Christian posture should be towards a stranger, towards the disenfranchised, towards the foreigner in our midst, the immigrants, illegal or not, right? That we are to be beacons of God's hospitality and welcome to them. And our motivation isn't because of Zeus's law or anything like that, but it's showing hospitality to others because that is the own example that we have in Jesus. So I encourage you today, this week, rest of the summer, to do a little hospitality audit of your own life. This is a book, actually, that I just kind of, I was looking for an image to put here because, you know, need to have an image. And this is a book, actually, for a church. It's for churches to do a hospitality audit. And so I'm thinking, oh, I'll probably get that. So how inclusive is your guest list? You know, God's guest list includes all people. And he invites them in to be transformed, to be loved. So that's the question. How, you know, do you just kind of get together with your buddies? That's great, right? Or just your family? Awesome. But do you ever extend it beyond that? To the stranger, to the person in church that you don't know very well, to your neighbor down the street, to someone from work? I encourage you to think about that. How non-reciprocal is your guest list? If you invite someone over once, if you don't get a reciprocal invitation, do you just kind of cast them aside? You shouldn't. You know, you should, you know, show hospitality. You don't know what their story is. You don't know what their situation is. Maybe they feel they can't invite others into their place. You know, but maybe after one time they wouldn't, but maybe after a few times, they might, you know, and then you become friends and you get to know one another. How missional is your guest list? That God's hospitality is missional, right? Because he has sought all of us out and brought us into his kingdom and into his family. Hospitality can probably be one of the best, and I hate to even call it, you know, a tool, because it's not. It shouldn't be. But you get what I'm saying, that hospitality and love for neighbors, for co-workers, for co-students, what are they called? Classmates, there you go, that's what they're called, right? That is sort of, any of that, that is just part of the heart of God, in that we are to emulate the heart of God. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you're an extrovert or an introvert like myself, okay? You don't have to invite the whole block. You can invite one person, and you can be comfortable, and you don't, you know, so it's not, you know, baby steps. It's not something that, and all of us, extrovert or introvert, we're all called to reflect God's love and hospitality to everyone. And finally, I just want to mention one last thing, because there's a Look Who's Coming to Dinner Summer Barbecue Edition coming up. So if you want to show hospitality, or, and something that's probably just as important, is allow yourself to be the guest, right? Because, you know, I encourage you to sign up for this, and to sort of get to know some of the other people in your church community, your church family, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. So I encourage you to sign that up. And there's usually more host homes than not, so, but be willing to just be invited and to go enjoy someone else's company. You don't know where you're going, and you just go and you can get to know someone and enjoy their hospitality, and just have a time where you get to know one another a little bit better. So I challenge you to show hospitality to someone this summer that maybe you normally wouldn't. Get out of your comfort zone and let God use you in this way to show hospitality to the stranger. Amen.